Rich Kimble here, and our next guest on the program is a veteran educator over 30 years as a teacher and a mentor, has also written extensively about education for USA Today, The Huffington Post, The Guardian, is the author of more than a dozen books, including Students First and Other Lies. We are happy to be joined this afternoon by Larry Strauss. Larry, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And Larry, let's start with the family history here. You were, it would seem, destined to go into education because your mother played one of the most iconic education figures in television history.
Well, yeah. I mean, she did. Although she was always quick to point out that she was not that person in real life. She loved, you know, all the adoration from fans, and you know, she was, you know, she cared deeply about people, but I'm not sure she would have had the patience to handle a classroom full of students. I mean, by her own admission, she did not quite understand how I managed to do that. I mean, just from working with teenage girls, you know, on the set, I mean, she loved them, you know, dearly, but like, you know, what are these creatures, you know, because they were teenagers.
We're talking about Charlotte Ray, who of course played Mrs. Garrett on The Facts of Life, but you've had quite a deal of experience as an educator and writing about it, and here we are at arguably the most crucial crossroads for public education in a long, long time. And so let me start by asking just this basic question. Are schools reopening for the wrong reasons?
That's a good question. I mean, obviously, schools in some parts of the country are not, or at least they're not opening in person. Schools are opening. This district I work for is, we are opening for school, but we're not meeting on campus. But then, you know, there are these, there are school districts. I think it depends. I think in some places like New York and Boston, where particularly New York, where the community numbers have gotten down, it's tricky to know what is the right moment to do this, and we'll find out. But, you know, there are lots of good reasons to want the schools open, make no mistake about it. And, you know, we know that there are political influences to it, but there's nothing much good you can say about having to have school over the internet. It is not preferable by any stretch for anybody. I mean, as a teacher, you look for ways to make it as not only as good as possible, you look for ways to do things maybe that you can't do in person with 30 or 35 students in a classroom. But at no point is there ever any doubt that it would be better if we could meet in person and not have to worry about this virus.
I hear you there. I've been a public school teacher for 31 years, and we all were sort of thrown into this back in March and did the best we could. But clearly, for remote teaching to work, it takes a very different approach, and it can reach our most vulnerable students. It's no surprise to anybody who's taught that the students who struggled the most while we weren't in schools were often the same students who were struggling when they were there in person.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so how do we reach those people in any circumstances, but especially during these difficult times?
Well, I was interested to see Boston apparently is going to do, they're going to go out of their way to try to identify and bring those students in and give them more in-person attention. I would like to see my district, which is complete full online right now and probably for a while, but I would like to see us identify those most vulnerable at-risk students and figure out ways to get them in the building. Because, you know, clearly there's a number of people you can have in a school building that's relatively safe. You know, if you're protected and, I mean, a lot of teachers still go into the buildings, a lot of administrators. But you can't crowd the hallways with hundreds of kids. I mean, we're finding that out. The Georgia experiment, I forget what the name of that high school is, where that famous, that now famous, infamous picture, has been circulated. But needless to say, that was not a good idea. But I think getting in those few students, even if it's not, and I'm not saying every day, but you have to establish the connection. Last spring, every time I called a kid or, specifically emailed a kid and said, hey, where you been? I'm concerned about you. I mean, they came back. They come back. It may not last. You may have to do it over and over again, but it's like they have to know that somebody, if they know somebody cares about them, they are so much more likely to become engaged and involved.
Absolutely. We're talking with Larry Strauss here on DAPTAP. So what have we learned about our educational system during the course of the shutdown?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think we've learned a lot about let me put it this way. The teaching is always an act of faith in a way, and I think that's been brought home by this situation, distance learning. What I mean by that is when you're looking at a bunch of little squares on a Zoom conference, you really don't know who's paying attention to you and who's not. I mean, you can call on a kid and find out, but you could do that one at a time. But as I'm sure you know, an experienced teacher can read the room. You can tell when you're losing attention. You can tell when kids are unfocused. Kids are working in groups. You just listen. Your ear sort of drifts around, and you can sense who's working and who's not, who's off task. Online, you don't have that same ability. So there's a lot of just hoping, and I think that's a reminder of really there's always a kind of an act of faith. Whether our kids are learning or not, whether they're paying attention, whether they're buying in, and as a teacher, I think often we get worn down. Our idealism just gets tested over and over and over again, and this is yet another test where we have to stay engaged and we have to stay enthused, even when it seems like the kids have shut us out and they're just gonna try to get a grade and they don't really want to engage with us. You have to keep bringing it day after day after day, no matter what.
You make a great point. I think teachers, frontline teachers, set the tone, and if we remain optimistic about it and share that belief and enthusiasm about what we're doing, that can reach students as well. We're going back in my school in a hybrid model, but we'll be there with students in the classroom, and yet it'll be different because of social distancing measures and everybody in masks. And of course, that becomes a challenge for teachers as well, because one of the ways we hold attention, at least the way I do, is to move around the room, use proximity to make sure that people are paying attention. And that might be a little bit more challenging if we're essentially in a box at the front of the room.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the distance. I've always found it frustrating whenever I've been in a classroom where the arrangement of the desks prevents me from being in the middle of the student.
Right.
That sort of that up at the front idea, that separateness. Yeah, and now we're going to be kind of locked into, the keeping our distance to kids. Yeah, absolutely.
And if we've learned nothing else, I think, out of this, is that maybe we need to find a better solution. That schools perhaps shouldn't be responsible for daycare for our young people, for being their primary source of nutrition, and that while that's a function that we've been willing to serve, maybe it would be better if that were in the hands of someone else and we could focus more on education and social and emotional wellness, which is a key part of what we do.
Right. My school district has... So served millions and millions of meals since we closed the buildings on March 13th, and in fact has been feeding adults in the poor communities as well. When you go to a feeding a center for this LAUSD, they don't ask you for any identification or anything. It's just honor system, And so, yeah, we schools do a lot of things that are not education. But if you don't do them, if you have hungry kids, you know, I've had students who only eat at school, and they,
right,
you know, they come into school and they don't have enough nutrition. I've had kids faint in the classroom. I've had to come out of my own pocket and give them like gift cards to fast food places or bring them sandwiches to take home with them for later. So, right, schools were often burdened with these social problems that, you know, that are not being solved elsewhere, whether it's, you know, psychological counseling for kids, nutrition, gang intervention, and now, right, this big, like, what is our role? Are we the daycare so that people can go to work? Because that's been behind a lot of the push to reopen school campuses. And, you know, it's often combined with, well, kids are better off. But, you know, the interesting thing about the kids are better off argument is that it doesn't take into account how kids feel right now about being in school. When I taught summer school, and actually I teach summer school at a different school than I teach during the year. So I don't know any of these kids beforehand. We had to get to know each other in that context. But we discussed this because during summer school, there were all these announcements were coming. I remember the morning the announcement was made about how we were going to open school. And almost every kid in the class said, I'm not going back. I'm not going there. If they open, you know, a hybrid model, I'm staying home. I'm not going. I'm not going to bring this thing home. My mom's got diabetes, my dad, you know, and so, you know, to say, well, kids are struggling, they're suffering being home. Yeah, they are. But that's because of the virus.
Right.
And it's particularly in communities of color, lower socioeconomic communities, they're being hit hard. And opening the schools isn't going to make that change. It's just going to, if anything, it's going to exacerbate it.
Absolutely. Well, challenging times indeed, but educators always have met that challenge. Larry, it's great to talk with you. We appreciate you making time for us this afternoon. Wish you good luck in your school year as well.
Thank you, and you too.
Thank you. Larry Strauss, appreciate it.